I will explain within the sermon. We return to this portion of God's word once again to consider the Lord's Day, the Sabbath. So to be reminded of our text, we read these words from verses 12 through 15 of Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. The Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. We will be considering a few other passages of scripture and then returning to Deuteronomy 5, so follow along through the sermon as you are able. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 weeks ago now I preached to you on the need to observe the Christian Sabbath. It was not my intention originally to return straight away to the matter of how we observe the Sabbath, however I have had requests to do exactly that. And having given the matter further prayer and thought and taking into account the fact that this is one area of the Christian life that really is under assault. And I use the word assault deliberately because I believe this let's not take the Sabbath too seriously idea is a very successful strategy of the evil one to weaken our relationship with the Lord, with each other, and the example that we set for our children in terms of the Christian faith. And so today we return to the matter of how we observe the Christian Sabbath. Because not everyone here today was here last time, we begin with a bit of brief review. Our question last time was, are we, as New Testament believers, still to observe the Sabbath? And we answered that question by noting that what we're talking about here is a solemn command of God. And despite the fact that the Lord Jesus has come to earth and done his work, and nothing about that downgrades the commandment to just a guide or just some sort of a suggestion. It's still a solemn command of God. And what we saw also is that while the argument of many as to why we are no longer bound to observe the Sabbath is that the Sabbath has been fulfilled in Christ, in actual fact, what Christ has done actually serves to strengthen the reason why we ought to observe the Sabbath. We saw this especially as we considered the redemption argument that God provides in these verses. While the Israelites were to use this day to remember rescue from Egypt, we are to use this day to remember our redemption from our sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we celebrate this day on Resurrection Sunday and not the Saturday as the Jews of the Old Testament did. And so we concluded by saying that as we look to Jesus, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, and who rose victorious on Sunday, the Lord's Day, we have every reason to observe the Christian Sabbath. So in these verses in Deuteronomy, God speaks to his people about the Sabbath. And as we saw last time, he prescribes a solemn command. He provides several arguments why this command should be kept. And today we will see also that he presents specific instructions about how to keep this command. And the specific instructions are that we keep the day holy, as you see in verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, which means that we and our sons and daughters and manservants, etc., shall not do any work on that day. These are the two things we focus on with the rest of our time. Keep it holy, do no work on that day. We're going to take them in reverse order, beginning with do no work on that day, and we'll spend the bulk of our time there. Now we start by considering three passages of the Bible that speak to this matter of not working on the Sabbath day. The first one is Numbers 15, verse 32. It's the book before the book of Deuteronomy. You'll find it on page 124. Numbers 15 from verse 32. While the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him in custody because it had not been made clear what should be done to him. The Lord said to Moses, "Man shall be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." All the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones, as the Lord commanded Moses. You can see from this passage in Scripture what we're talking about here is a very serious matter. To work on the Sabbath day brought with it the death penalty. Turn secondly to the book of Nehemiah in chapter 13, still in the Old Testament and just a little bit before the Psalms, page 409, if you have one of the provided Bibles. Nehemiah chapter 13, and we read from verse 15. In those days, Nehemiah is talking here, I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys, and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, and I warned them on the day when they sold food. Tyrians also, who lived in the city, brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the people of Judah in Jerusalem itself. And I confronted the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this evil thing that you are doing, profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers act in this way? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Now you are bringing more wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." As soon as it began to grow dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut, gave orders that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And I stationed some of my servants at the gates that no load might be brought in on the Sabbath day. Then the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice, but I warned them and said to them, "Why do you lodge outside the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you." From that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should purify themselves and come and guard the gates to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember this also in my favor, O my God, and spare me according to the greatness of your steadfast love. But notice here that working on the Sabbath is given as one of the reasons why God sent his people into exile and allowed Jerusalem to be invaded and destroyed. This was an essential part of the covenant relationship with God. Thirdly and lastly, turn now to the New Testament and the Gospel of Luke in chapter 23. Third book of the New Testament, page 884. Luke 23, verse 54. Jesus has died, and his body has been taken from the cross and laid in a tomb. And so we read from verse 54, "It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared." Now, you would think that to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was a very good thing to do. But even though these women had prepared spices already, these women rested according to the command. God said, "Do not work on the Sabbath." And so they waited till the morning after the Sabbath to go to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. Even though what they had in mind to do was a good thing, there were better things for them to be focusing on the Sabbath day. So as we think now again about the fourth commandment, we read there that on the Sabbath day you shall not do any work. And we've seen the serious consequences for breaking this commandment. We have seen how it was wrongly observed and how it was rightly understood and observed. So the question now is, what does this mean for you and me today? What does the fourth commandment look like in 2016? And the answer is that "you shall not do any work on that day" means, in 2016, you shall not do any work on that day. And this is so, firstly, most patently, because it is the command of God. It is what He requires. To those that He has redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and who will one day enjoy the fullness of everything that the Lord's Day points forward to in heaven with Jesus, God says, "You shall not do any work on that day." Now I would ask you to turn with me to Isaiah in chapter 58, verses 13 to 14, which is where we see the purpose of ceasing from our ordinary work. And already here we're starting to see what it means to keep it holy, the second half of God's command. So page 618 back in the Old Testament, Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. The prophet is speaking to the people of Israel, warning them about their ongoing sins. He says to them, "If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, doing your pleasure on my holy day, call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Now keep your Bibles open there for a moment, because we will return here shortly. But what we see in these verses is that we cease from our ordinary work in order to delight in the Lord. Another way of saying this is that we are to cease from our ordinary work in order to enjoy Sunday or celebrate Sunday. And everything that it means. This is not a negative command. This is a positive command. The Lord wants us to be able to enjoy Him and to enjoy each other and to enjoy our salvation in a deliberate and focused way that we can't do when we are busy with our ordinary work. So this requires of us to let go of our ordinary daily work concerns. Let me illustrate this for you. There will be some among us, probably men, who have agreed to go on a family holiday at a busy time of work. So we go on a holiday with the proviso that we can keep the phone on, so that if the office needs to get hold of us, they can. Or we go with the proviso that we'd be allowed to spend the morning in a cafe with Wi-Fi so that we can do all of our email stuff. Or even that the campsite is close to town so that we can zip into the office each morning and do our stuff then, and then return to the campsite in the afternoon. I'm fairly confident that if I was to ask your wife or your children if you enjoyed your holiday with Dad, the answer would be, that was no holiday. Dad wasn't really there. Truly focus on them, you have to cease from that. Or have you ever had the scenario where you're talking to someone, maybe face to face, maybe on the phone, and you're telling them something very personal, very, very meaningful, and you get to that point where you ask them what they think or what their advice would be, and they say, sorry, what? You repeat that, I just saw something on the TV. That hurts. Am I that unimportant that you can't give me your undivided attention? Well, God requires our undivided attention on the Christian Sabbath. And the only way that you and I will truly be able to observe this day by keeping it holy and enjoy it and delight in it and celebrate it is if you cease from your ordinary work. Now, before we move on to look more closely at the need to keep it holy, there are three qualifications or three sub-points that need to be made in connection with ceasing from our ordinary work. The first is that it is not possible for everyone to cease from their ordinary work on the Sabbath day. I'm working. Of course, the joke goes that this is the only day of the week that I work. My work, though, is a necessary part of what it needs for all of us to be able to observe the Sabbath day. And Jesus healed people on the Sabbath day. We know that from the Gospels. And so broadly speaking, those involved in the health sector are going to have to continue their work on Sunday. We can't leave the patients to look after themselves. Police officers, firemen, utility suppliers and maintenance staff, farmers, soldiers, round-the-clock industries are some examples of the types of work that can't just shut down for 24 hours. They are what we call works of necessity. So it is quite right for believers to choose those occupations knowing that they may not be able to cease from their ordinary labors in order to enjoy and observe the Sabbath. However, if you are involved in one of those occupations, you ought to do what you can to minimize what you have to do on the Lord's Day as far as it depends on you. Young people, as those who have to think about career options, this is something to really take into account. You see, there are more and more career options out there that supposedly require 24/7 work. And that's not necessarily true. Even if we take hospitals, for example, which certainly are places of life and death emergencies, they are driven as much today by economic realities as they are by necessity. The same is so with factories and the transportation industry. So you have to pray about this, and you have to seek the counsel of your parents and maybe of your elders as to whether what you are thinking about doing really is necessary work. Let me give you this piece of advice also. Even when you sign a contract for a holiday work or a part-time job at Farmers, etc., write on that contract, "I will not work on Sundays." Have that discussion right up the front to save yourself having to have it again and again in the weeks that come later. Finally, if you have a job that requires you to work on Sunday, that is not necessary work. And as we consider the types of things that we're thinking about here in God's Word, it becomes clear that we really ought to leave that job and find something else. Proverbs 19:16 says, "Whoever keeps the commandment keeps his life." Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So there is some work that is necessary work that may continue on the Sabbath day. But the second sub-point in relation to not working on the Sabbath is something I wrote about in last week's bulletin. In the previous Sabbath sermon, we noted five reasons that God provides in the fourth commandment as to why we ought to keep the fourth commandment. But one sister very correctly and helpfully drew my attention to a sixth reason, and it's a very important one. We might call it the love your neighbor argument. You see, the command requires that you cease from work and your son and daughter and manservant and ox, etc., so that they may rest as you do. So when you shut down your office or your building site or you scale back operations on the farm to a bare minimum, you're making it possible for your staff also to enjoy the day of rest. On the other side of the coin, when you go to a cafe or a petrol station or the warehouse, you require other people to be there to serve you, which means they can't rest as well as you do. So we are to cease from our work because we are grateful to God for redeeming us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because we are to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we do all that we can to make it possible for others to rest as we do, because we love our neighbor. So we have to cease from work and make it possible for others also to rest. And thirdly and finally, in connection with not working on the Sabbath, and here we come back again to these words in Isaiah 58. Notice in verse 13, the mention of not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly. Now, that's not our ordinary work, is it? It's another category of ways we spend our time. What these words help us to see is that it is not just work that is in view with the fourth commandment, but also our ordinary hobbies, recreations, and pastimes, and sport and leisure activities. If it hasn't started already, here is definitely where we start to nervously twitch in our seats a little bit. Uh-oh, here it comes. Joey Piper, in his book on the Lord's Day, mentions that on several occasions after preaching about the Lord's Day, people have approached him and they have said that they would never submit their children to such torture. So Dr. Piper questioned them about their Sabbath memories and found that they consisted of morning and evening church services, family worship, and a long list of things the children could not do. I remember a similar conversation with a friend once who described something very much like that, but who also added that the long list of things the children could not do had as much to do with being quiet as Dad was sleeping as it did with anything else. Well, let's remind ourselves that our main point here in connection with Isaiah 58 is that God's design for the Sabbath that we delight in. Fathers, your calling is to help your children delight in the Lord. So if you have memories of Sabbath torture, such that in your house now an ordinary Sabbath consists of you spending the afternoon asleep, your wife at a cafe with a girlfriend, or eldest in one bedroom watching a movie on a laptop, the second child at the beach with his mates, and the third one in the park with a friend for the afternoon, that's not the life of the Lord on the Sabbath. That's a wasted Sabbath. You are going your own way, seeking your own pleasure, talking idly. You're not delighting the Lord on His Sabbath. Delight in the Sabbath and to enjoy it and to celebrate it presupposes that we devote the day to God and to His people. This day gives you an opportunity to do things in a focused way that you often just don't have the time to do throughout the week. The list of activities that I'm about to give you is not a list of the only things you can do or everything that you have to do, and there may even be things in the list that you would not choose to do. I simply give them as an alternative to the type of wasted Sabbath that I described a moment ago. So attend both services of worship. Do some Bible study and meditation and memorization. Get yourself prepared for the Bible study that's going to come during the week. Do some singing. Visit believers who can't usually get to church. Help your children act out a Bible story. Do some press-ups with them. Be Ruth and Naomi or whatever. Look at their Sunday school or catechism work with them. Go to youth group, walk in the park or on the beach with your family or others and deliberately talk about God's goodness, God's beautiful creation, and our salvation in Christ. Pray with your children. Reflect on the sermons, watch a few instructional or devotional videos online, read a good book out loud with your children or with your flatmates, read Faith and Focus, do some baking that you can deliver to the family who just had a baby, practice regular hospitality so that you are with other believers or they are with you. These are some of the ways we can turn aside from seeking our own pleasure and delight in the Lord and in the Lord's people on the Christian Sabbath. And brothers and sisters, young people and boys and girls, what we're talking about here is where we naturally slide from not working on that day to keeping it holy. Our final and very brief point. Please turn back to our text in Deuteronomy chapter 5. we return to these words, I wonder if you ever pause to think about the significance of the mention of the ox, the donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. They also are not to do work, we are told. When you think about it, if you don't put a yoke on an ox or saddlebags on a donkey, well, they don't have to do their usual work and they get some physical rest, but that's where it stops. They don't immediately rush off to church or start working on Bible study preparation, do they? I know that there are some churches that have bring your pet along for blessing services. I'm pretty sure that's got nothing to do with the fourth commandment. Today, if you don't fire up your tractor, or you don't fire up your nail gun, or you don't pick up your scientific calculator, or you leave the shop closed so your non-Christian employees don't have to work on the Sunday, those tools, and those implements, and those non-Christian staff get some physical rest, but that's where it stops. But the believer who knows that his or her sins are forgiven in Christ, and that one day he or she will be welcomed to the glory of heaven to live there forever with Jesus, rejoices that he or she has been set free from their ordinary work concerns in order to keep the day whole. So you and I observe the Christian Sabbath by keeping it holy as we cease from our ordinary labors and as we enjoy the opportunity for physical rest that ceasing from our ordinary labors makes possible. But also and especially as we actively pursue those things that strengthen our walk with the Lord and our fellowship with one another and our enjoyment of the salvation that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 58, we read that we are to turn back our feet from the Sabbath and from doing our own pleasure on God's holy day. Instead, we are to call the Sabbath a delight, the Lord's Day honorable. There were some believers addressed in the book of Hebrews who didn't see a need to gather with the Lord's people anymore for worship or fellowship. But the Spirit of the Lord, through the author of the book, said, "Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Observing the Christian Sabbath is not simply about emptying the day of work. It's also about filling it with the sorts of things that we have discussed. It's about keeping the day holy and separate and sanctified and consecrated. And so again, as we said last time, as we look to Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, who rose victorious on Sunday, the Lord's Day, we have every reason to observe the Christian Sabbath. And we do this as we empty the day of our ordinary work, recreation, and we fill it with worship and fellowship and works of necessity and mercy. Then we shall delight in the Lord. Amen. Lord God in heaven, already we have sung during the service about the joy of meeting together in the name of Jesus. We have sung of this glorious holy day of the Lord, the day that Christ rose from the dead, the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Lord's people. And we thank you, Lord, for once again impressing these truths upon our hearts. We realize, O God, that there are many who would say otherwise. And we beg of you that we might continue to delight in the Lord, to delight in the Lord's Day, to call it honorable, to celebrate it and enjoy it, to make the most of this day, to bless you and to be blessed by you. Father in heaven, we pray that chief of all of these things may be our desire to meditate long and hard on the grand truth of Scripture, that by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, we have been set free from our sin and guilt, that we might love you and serve you with glad obedience. So, Lord, we thank you for the gift of this day. In Jesus' name, we pray.